99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And you're wondering, how can this be Jimmy Disu? This is Wemimo's voice. The name, yes, it is I. Welcome to Daily Digest. Jimmy Disu is away, taking a break, a much needed break for the next 2 weeks. So you're hanging out with me on Daily Digest for the next 2 weeks. Welcome to the show, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Of course, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Do a quick search for us there and you would find us over there. We have a fantastic conversation lined up for today on the show, and we'll be taking your reactions as you're sending your messages on all of our social media handles on YouTube and Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also call us when I open the phone lines, and the number you should put it on speed dial is 0700-993-993-993. You can also reach us if you're female on 0146-57-190. So, yesterday in Lagos, Southern governors converged. Interestingly, that was the conversation Sheriff just had with you. But we're going to take these, the communique released by the Southern governors one after the other. And I've got with me the studio the former commissioner, Delta State Oil Producing Area Development Commission, the Sopedec, Kenny Okolugbo, with me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Wemimo. It's my pleasure. And nice to see you standing in for Jimmy Disu.
That's right. I'm sure everyone is still reeling from well, that's not Jimmy's voice. But you know, you have a lovely time planned out, right? Okay. So it was really interesting to see Southern governors come to Lagos. And so this is the second meeting this year. There was one in May that held in Asaba.
Yes.
There was an earlier one. This is a follow-up on that.
The one they actually referred to as the Asaba Accord.
Right.
Yes.
So let's start with this. Some people will call this sudden unification of Southern governors. So Southwest, South-South, Southeast, something is bringing them together.
Well, it's very interesting because it was actually long overdue. You agree with me that before now, it was even beyond just the governors alone. Mm-hmm. We had the members of the House of Representatives. Yes. Mm-hmm. We had the senators. And we even had the House of Assembly members of the Southern extraction, irrespective of political parties, all gathered together to speak with one voice. Mm-hmm. Now, we're in precarious times. And it was something that should have been done a long time, but it's better late than never. Mm. And after the Asaba meeting, a lot of people thought the Asaba meeting was more like more like a toothless bulldog, because after the open grazing ban was pronounced by the governors, I was still seeing cows when I go to Delta, my state, all over. I was still seeing cows in Lagos, all over. And what the Lagos meeting has just done is that they have put a timeline now.
Yes.
And that makes a lot of sense, because it couldn't just have been immediate once the Asaba meeting said, we are against open grazing. Mm-hmm. And now it has given a timeline, and they have said on the 1st of September, every House of Assembly in the 17 states of the South-South must promulgate the law banning open grazing. And I think that's a good way to look at it.
Interestingly, yes. That, you know, as they agree on the September 1st, which is just about roughly 2 months from now, to pass into law to make it illegal for there to be open grazing in, in all southern states. Mm. This appears to be at variance with what the federal government thinks about open grazing. The federal government has asked and made suggestions about reclaiming grazing routes ensuring that everyone has a right to move across Nigeria the way they want it. So does this look like the southern governors are going head-to-head with the federal government?
No, but interestingly, the grazing route that the president talked about on that his live interview was not done by the federal government. It was promulgated by the northern premier. And that was in 1964. Mm-hmm. That was even before the 1966 coup. And most of the areas you find out that it is only in Oyo State, you had only two grazing routes. And those grazing routes were not even supposed to be under the... Oyo was in Midwest. It was not even in Midwest, it was in Western.
Yeah.
And so it was not bounded to obey the promulgation of that decree by the premier. And so when you talk about going back to the grazing routes, it's funny because there is no law, as it says, that says there's any grazing routes in the south. And even in the north, where you're supposed to have grazing routes, it was more reserves. Those routes that are saying that they're trying to bring back to life. But the federal government cannot dictate on the issue of grazing. Why would I say that? The land use decree clearly vests the authority of the use of land on the governors. And you can't take it away from them. It is their exclusive right. It's just like the way you have the concurrent list and the exclusive legislative list. And since the constitution has not been amended, the governors have every right to make laws over their land. And the 17 governors have come together and have said, we don't want grazing. No open grazing. And irrespective of political parties, I mean, the last time I checked, it wasn't only the APC governors, but the PDP governors. In fact, we even have ABGA. So we have three parties making up the 17 states of the South. And so the federal government cannot come to dictate to them. Whatever they have said here is law, and that is what the Constitution says.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, you summarized where I was heading with this. There's a Land Use Act that vests the authority of land in governors over their states.
Yes.
And like you've also said, Nigeria has, let me confirm the number, 415 grazing reserves, and there are only two in the South that they say. You've got Ogun and Oyo, and that's it. And that's it. And if those governors say they don't want open grazing, and they pass this into law, then it stays at law.
That's it. That's exactly what it should be.
Right.
And that is what it's going to be at the end of the day. But you know, the only painful aspect is implementation. When you make arrest, who is in charge of the police? The federal government is in charge of the police. This is where the state police. I know you're going to come to that.
I'm coming to
the state police.
And let's just jump to that right away. Yes. I mean, we've started properly already. And talking about having authority on state police. In Lagos State yesterday, there was an interesting bill that was passed. I don't know if you've seen that, but I'm just going to run you through it.
Right.
I think it was pretty interesting. The Lagos State Assembly passed a bill banning the police in Lagos State from parading suspects. And the first thing that came to my mind is the police is on the exclusive list. They are under the federal government.
Yes.
The Lagos State House of Assembly can't exercise
that right for now.
They can't,
except the constitution is amended. Now, the police will tell you that they always parade those suspects because they want to use them use such parades to serve as a deterrent to others. You can look at it from different perspectives. But until the constitution is amended and state policing is actually allowed, a law that is made by the State House of Assembly for an issue that is on the exclusive legislative list, just like we're talking about open grazing, the federal government cannot come into the issue of open grazing by virtue of the Land Use Act. So I don't think the Lagos State Assembly really they don't have that powers to ban.
What they did yesterday was to amend a version of the criminal justice law of the state.
That is the state. That's what I'm saying. But it cannot be applicable to the police because the police is actually under the exclusive legislative list, which is under the federal government authority.
Yeah, so there might be a clash.
There won't even be a clash. They will say they are not bounded by that law.
So what was the point of making a law or passing a bill when you don't have authority?
That is why
we're saying
that the amendment of the constitution every year is just a waste of funds. We need to go into a holistic dissection of that constitution. We need to tear it apart and bring it back together. When people say we should go back to the 1963 constitution, it tells you that there's so many gains that were in the 1963 constitution that gave so much controls to the region. In fact, as a student of political science, one of the things that we're taught was that in a federal structure, Nigeria is not really one to be seen as a federal structure. Yeah. But a federal structure gives the federating units the ability to be able to express themselves. But when you find all the things that are in the exclusive legislative list, like you cannot harness your resources, you cannot pay tax to the center like it's actually done in America. The federal government comes to the central post to take your resources and say, no, we're only going to give you a percentage of what you derivation. They can tell you cannot control your police. They are setting roads that are designated federal roads. They are setting, it tells you that is there really independence of the federating unit. That's what is happening to Lagos State House of Assembly, because you're making a law trying to gag the federal government on certain areas that they will tell you that you don't have the power to make.
Well, I mean, this again, like you've rightly put it, if we're sure about where each of these governments and levels of government have authority, if they stay within the confines of what they can do, maybe we can have more impact. If the Lagos State government or the Lagos State House of Assembly makes laws, you know, in their area of jurisdiction, and yes, I try to venture. The same thing applies to the grazing route. But now that we're talking to the police, let's talk about one of the important points from the meeting the southern governors had yesterday, and that's security. Let me quote from this communique which I have with me. The forum reviewed the security situation in the country and commends security operatives for their relentless effort in restoring security and safety, and commiserates with families and loved ones of those who have fallen in the line of duty. They're also re-emphasizing the need for state police.
We can't run away from it now. We have seen that first we're talking about 10,000 recruits. We've been talking about 10,000 recruits for the past 2 years or 3 years.
Yeah.
And we have seen that we are not only on the police is not only on the staff. Mm-hmm. Let me even put it that way. Not even about not having enough policemen. We do not have enough policemen to even man 1/4 of the country, talk less of the entire federation. Now, when we talk of state police, it's basically those who know their area, who are used to their natural habitat, who can tell when strangers immediately appear, who can tell that Mr. A is of good character, Mr. B is of a questionable character. You know, you basically know your neighborhood.
And isn't that
that's
what
just like what Lagos State government calls it, neighborhood watch.
Neighborhood watch. And then
and
we also have
exactly
the Amoteku in the southwest.
That is what neighborhood watch even translates to.
Yeah.
Amoteku, or you call it neighborhood watch.
No, so we have neighborhood watch separately. They're the ones in the blue and yellow.
You know, they're all supposed to be tending towards the same thing. But when you not when you don't have a law regulating them, it becomes very difficult for you to have them assert their authority.
Yeah.
But when there is a law now that gives that removes the policing from the exclusive legislative list, decentralized policing, now the governors can actually assert their authority. Because to me, when you say governor is the chief security officer of his state, it's more like lip service.
They don't if he doesn't have control
over the police, over the security apparatus. The director of DSS in his state will not take instructions from him.
Absolutely.
The military commander in his state will not take instructions from him. The commissioner of police will not take instructions from him. So how is it the chief security officer of his state?
But the fears which always come to the forefront every time we talk about state police is the governor's having too much power.
We abuse it.
So,
we can't just keep living in that fear. Because
it's a genuine fear.
It's a genuine fear. Yeah, it's a genuine fear. You know why it's a genuine fear? That is why we must make the we must amend this in such a way that the governors will also be, they will not just...
They don't have absolute
powers. Because if you look at state independent electoral commissions, you find out if APC is in charge of this state, all the chairmanship candidates of APC will win.
Yeah.
If PDP is in charge of this state, all the PDP chairmanship candidates will win. So with what is happening in the state independent electoral commissions, it's... Your fears, like what you have said, that's those fears that people have expressed is very genuine.
Yeah.
Because they'll say, oh, that's the same thing that will happen. They're going to be arresting their
opponents
instead of actually carrying out security checks. But we can also put checks and balances that will make it difficult for you to just abuse your powers. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And not just run away from it completely because we are saying that because the governors are going to tend to abuse it, then we will continue in the situation we have found ourselves now.
And I think we can take a cue from the Amoteku bill. What Osun State did, if you look at the intricate details of the bill that establishes Amoteku, they dealt with the power vested in the governor and also gave some power to the assembly to be able to monitor what the governor does in terms of giving instructions to.
But that can only happen. I looked at your shoe case. But that can only happen when the assembly is actually independent. When you also have an assembly that is gagged by the governor. As you say, because they call most of the assemblies as just assemblies that are rubber stamps. How do you now actually get an assembly to checkmate the powers of the governor if he abuses it? So if the assemblies are there is a law now. There's an amendment in the constitution that have made the assemblies independent.
And yeah, so but you know, maybe that should fundamentally be independent. But
that should be
said,
actually implemented because that was why we had the strike by the House of Assembly Commission and even JUSON because they wanted our independence. So we should start from the basics. Once our independence actually come, the Assembly can actually checkmate the powers of that government.
But you know, fundamentally,
we can have speakers that can look their governor in the face and tell him that, look, sir, you have abused your power.
You think it is the documents. You think the independence will come from the documents that tells them they can be independent, or with
the
their
actual
own choices
will. No, we actually also have to have the will. Uh-huh. I remember in 2015, the independence of the assembly was shut down by the same Houses of Assembly because we needed to take majority of the Houses of Assembly to concur with the Senate and the House of Reps. While the House of Reps and the Senate have said, look, we'll give you your money from your first line charge, your governors, you won't go cap in hand begging your governors for funds because he who pays the piper basically dictates the tone. They voted against it. But that has changed now. They have voted for their freedom. And so let's also look at what will happen in this new dispensation, especially taking into consideration the precarious situation we have found ourselves. That should be a wake-up call.
Okay. One of the things I also talked about in terms of the state police is asking, and I find this very interesting, they resolved actually that for any reason security institutions need to undertake any operation in any state, the CEO, the chief security officer rather of the state, that's the governor, should be duly informed. That means the police should inform the governor.
Basically, just like the way the arrest of Sonny Boho was done, the governor of Oyo State said he was not aware, and he's supposed to be the chief security officer. He also felt it was a delicate situation because there was no prior invitation. His house was raided late in the night. We were shown arms and ammunitions, for example. We don't know if those arms and ammunitions were actually found in his residence or were planted.
And we also hear that
He said the CCTV camera was taken. Sometimes they will tell you these are investigations that are being done. They cannot bring it out in the open.
Yet.
But you must be transparent, especially for a situation where you already know that this person has been crying for succession and is a target. So maybe if the governor was aware, the governor would be in a position to also tell his people that, oh no, I was informed, we had intelligence reports, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But do you think that the DSS will be ready to inform any governor?
I remember the DSS works with the presidency.
That's the truth. They answer directly to the president. In fact, remember the Mungunu, when Kyari was alive, the chief of staff complained about the fact that almost none of them were reporting to him, and he was supposed to be the national, he's still the national security advisor. So that tells you they talk to the president directly.
So if they can
bypass the national security advisor, who naturally should be in charge of the whole of these agencies, how will they talk to a governor?
Do you think this resolution is far-fetched?
No, but it's a welcome development. It shows that there's a strong resolve. And it's interesting because you see the APC governors, you think they will be lily-livered. And you find that Akeredolu is speaking so, and I must commend him, he's speaking so vociferously. He's determined. And
let me have that on a quick break on the show. I'm due for a break now. We're right back. This is Daily Digest with Dimidi Subod with Wemi Moateguni today. And Kenny Ogologbo is here with me in the studio, the former commissioner, Desu Padek. We're back shortly to talk some more and take your comments. Don't go away.
Welcome back. This is Daily Digest with Jimmy Dissi.
Welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is Daily Digest. My name is Wemimo Adewunye. We're looking at the resolution of the southern governors at the meeting held in Ikeja. Here in Lagos yesterday was a full house, so to say. And for once in a long time, we see southern governors unite to make resolutions on decisions. And this is really, really just a landmark. This year has been a year for making decisions, and possibly some of these decisions can also go through. So we've talked about the decision they made on open grazing, and actually they have made a decision with a date. There's a timeline of Wednesday, the 1st of September 2021, for the promulgation of the anti-open grazing law in all member states. And also they talked about the police Security Trust Fund. They're saying that the fund should be deducted from the Federation account and be distributed among the states and federal government to combat security challenges. So they're asking that the money is not just in the Federation account, but should be split so that, like we said before the break, the state can also have a lot of impact and control.
That is even an aberration that they're not giving it to the states. Because if you notice most of the states, you saw the commissioning that happened in Lagos.
Yes.
You saw the commissioning that happened in Ogun State. Even in my state, Delta. If the IG is going around, even in Plateau, I saw the commissioning. These gadgets they're buying, these bulletproof vests, mm-hmm. and all the other equipments they're buying, they're not cheap. If the states are spending so much and are even trying to bring in public-private partnership into the purchase of the security equipments, then why is the trust funds being handled alone by the federal government?
Lagos State has a security trust fund.
They do have.
Taking 2%
and they are spending, and we can see where Lagos State is putting the money into. We must be very realistic.
Yes.
I mean, governor after governor has shown where those funds are being put into. Mm. So when there is a call now for these funds to be distributed, the governors should also have a share of those funds, because these funds are not derived by the federal government. They're derived from the general revenue purse of the federation. So you don't call this a trust fund that is only managed by the federal government. I think that is wrong.
Yeah.
The states were too late in the day for calling. I mean, that's their right.
They should have challenged
this. They should have challenged that a long time ago.
But like you said when we started, maybe better late than never.
That's exactly what I said.
Let's talk about the PIB. This is really shaking everywhere across the country right now. I spoke to you yesterday about this, and also a couple of other persons. Now, on the PIB, which was passed Thursday last week by the House of Reps.
Yes.
Right. So, it's a 430-something paged document, amendment.
And 318 clauses.
So if you can take a few pages per day, just scroll through. So that I always encourage people to take a look at the details and read it and know it for yourself. It's quite bulky, but just take it a little at a time. Now, the forum commends the National Assembly for the progress they made. Everyone should commend them. I mean, it's been over two decades.
Over 20 years.
Over two decades.
It's been very for those of us from the Niger Delta, especially for those of us from the oil producing area, for someone like me that was a commissioner in a development commission, and know what I did see in administering those areas for the period I was a commissioner, it's sad that the PIB has taken this long. And if you look at the PIB, the interesting thing is that I wonder why they had Mungunu chair the ad hoc committee in the House of Reps. I thought there were many capable House of Representatives members from the Niger Delta that should have chaired the ad hoc committee.
Hmm.
But interestingly, it was passed in 20 minutes. If you notice, the deputy speaker was jumped from 189 to 200. And people complained about it. And so many people that were trying to indicate, they were trying to raise their hands, so many lawmakers, and he refused to recognize any of them. Now, 240 talks about the equity funds, which was raised to 5%, unlike the Senate that is staying at 3%. The Niger Delta is saying 10%. They're not even talking about 5%. And so if you're trying to assuage their feelings, because this is derivation, this is money you get from my backyard. It's like you producing MTN card or Glo or Airtel cards in my house. And I don't have credit on my phone. And it is my house you're using to produce it. And you're not paying me anything for producing it. So it is very painful that when you go to other states like Yobe, you go to Adamawa, you go to Taraba, you go to Plateau, you realize that these are funds that are derived from my backyard that is carrying out all this infrastructural development. And my people are living in abject squalor and poverty. It's quite painful because the PIB was our only hope.
Hmm.
In correcting these inadequacies. That is why that 5% must stay.
But the 5%
to me is not even adequate, but that 5% must stay because I must have a fair share. Then the most annoying aspect, Wemimo, is the 30% you say are going to set aside for
exploration.
It's not exploration, it's exploitation as far as I'm concerned.
That's
the other word I'll use for it, not exploration. Why should you keep 30% of my money for exploration? Why can't you take the money from those companies that are driving all the huge profits? If I'm just getting 5% equity shares from a company.
And you take 30% of
30%
that.
30% off the 100 again to say you're going to use for exploration.
Let's explain this to people who don't understand.
Yes.
The equity fund. So frontier exploration means Nigeria wants to find new grounds where they can find oil.
We're
looking for oil in other places across the country.
Yes.
So the idea from the PIB is to take 30% of the profits we make.
Keep it aside.
Before it's shared, you remove 30% and we say we're looking for oil. So how does it work? Who drills for oil? Who finds, who looks for the oil?
That's what we are saying. Because I'm using my own money to fund private companies to look for oil, geological services. And if I find oil in Bauchi, I'm not taking it personal with the people from Bauchi. And use my money I'm using to go and find oil in Bauchi. How do you compensate me for that?
Maybe you're going to become a stakeholder.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, because it's quite haunting. And that's why we have said that the PIB, they need to really carry out a holistic, I mean, it was passed. We commend them for passing it. But there are still so many areas. Look at the NNPC and unbundling. You're unbundling NNPC and you're practically denying us from the Niger Delta a chance of controlling the shares of a company that you are going to eventually have to bring all the funds from our area.
The control is still set with the federal government.
That's exactly what we are saying. So we're living in self-denial. And the whole idea of the PIB is to bring foreign direct investment in the oil sector, which we have not had in the past how many years. They keep saying the PIB, when it is passed, will have FDIs, will bring the foreign direct investments. I don't see how this will assuage the feelings of those of us from the Niger Delta, or actually attract those foreign direct investments that we crave for. That's exactly what I'm saying. So let's leave the 5%. Let's revisit the issue of the unbundling of the NNPC, which was, like you said, it's a long volume, but people have to read it clause by clause.
Because if you don't read it, you don't know.
You will not appreciate what we're trying to say in the studio.
I'm saying with the frontier exploration, before I go to the phone lines, what do you suggest? I mean, Nigeria, like one of the persons I spoke to yesterday, Faith Nwadishu, you might know her. She was with the ETI, Extractive Transparency Initiative. She talked about other countries already looking forward to diversify, looking into other forms of energy. We're looking at, people are moving from oil.
Look at
moving
America,
to renewable
for example,
energy.
They are banning people from going into any new areas for frontier exploration. And that's why what they're condemning Biden for, because they're saying they're beginning to make America dependent on exports, on imports again from other countries. Yes, other people are looking at renewable energy, but we are a third world country. We don't have the resources to start investing in renewable energy.
You don't think this 30% will go a long way?
What I feel is the aspect of the fact that we feel cheated. I'm not saying the 30% would not go a long way. Let that money reside with those companies. And the federal government can actually do it. All the money that the federal government has been making from us, taking how many percent in sharing it, give the states only how many? It's not 42%. And they take 58%.
Let's create a scenario.
Can they create funds for themselves? Okay, look at even JV, the joint ventures. They were not paying up their joint ventures. That's why Ibe Kachukwu had to go into that agreement again back to the oil company, because they will come with the JV. The companies will just come with any amount that are not audited to say this is what we spent as running cost. And almost 5 something billion was being owed in running costs to those companies that they say they have JV with. Okay, even if the federal government has 49% and they have 51%, that's 2% different gives them controlling shares. The JV, federal government will not pay. They now want to come and take the 30% of the money that they were not paying. So now come and say that's what we're going to keep to carry out. No, I mean,
if I ask you to speak on behalf of people from the oil producing states, if I bring a suggestion and say let's take 30% and let's invest it in renewable energy, would that make you feel better?
In only the Niger Delta states, I'll feel better.
Oh, if we're searching for renewable energy in the Niger Delta states?
Yes, not beyond the Niger Delta states, not beyond the states that are producing oil. There's so much going on there, I'm telling you. Yes, they say go ask your state governors. The state governors are doing their bit. We know their issues. But there's so much going on there that the federal government is not even, I mean, you can't even believe what the kind of area, some of those places that have oil, the kind of abject squalor and poverty
why precisely? You've been a commissioner of
Desopade.
Why exactly is there abject poverty in these areas?
How many times were we giving our 13%? Some of us invested. For me, for example, I did a lot of projects that could touch lives. I couldn't employ, for example, but I had to be buying keke I couldn't buy Okada. I was buying Keke because then Keke was 450,000 naira to give out a mass. And I realized that most of the times I bought this Keke was for those who come and give me nominations, either their brothers, their sisters, or their loved ones, and it wasn't trickling down. So I had to bring out the issue of raffle draw. Just to tell you, to touch areas. I remember there was a boy that won that Keke. He said he had just 500 naira. His mother borrowed it to him. And he bought that raffle ticket and got that Keke. I shed tears. Because literally, when you go to the Niger Delta, you find people who cannot eat. And they are taking their oil to be building bridges. I mean, it's painful. Because you need to see it for you to know. Yes, you will say the state governments can do so much. We have the SOPADEC. We have NDDC. Mm-hmm. Why are we shouting? We need to get the fundings right. Even NDDC tells you now that it's the 3% from the oil companies that are using to run NDDC. Federal government is not paying their counterpart share. Even with the alleged corruption that is going on in NDDC. So if federal government is paying their own share, then maybe they won't be owing that much that they are owing, or the funds that are filtered away will not be filtered away the way they are being filtered away. So but let's first of all put these things right so that we can now start correcting it to say, look, oh, the funds have come. Is that not why I'm saying the host
communities? Are you excusing the host communities, the state governors?
I'm not excusing them. But I'm saying that what they have is not enough to upgrade those areas literally. Because
but do you think have they judiciously used it?
Yes, we have condemned the fact that NDDC has not been judiciously used. I won't sit here because I was a commissioner in Desopadec to say it was all a hoo in Desopadec. I won't say that. Do you understand? But what we're saying that bit that it's not being given, it's not adding up. That is exactly what I'm trying to say. It's never enough for those people to get out. Look at those areas. The areas I go to, we have to go on canoe, not even motorized boats. Then there's this thing called pontoon that will cross us over to those areas that are all oil producing. Then you have those areas being ravaged by flood. We're talking about sand filling. Those places are not below the sea level. Like in Ndokwa East, which is under my federal constituency, every year they undergo flooding. And that's the highest oil producing area in the whole of Delta North. For example, you find them having crude oil of Brent quality being exported by Agip in millions of barrels. They have 480 megawatts of electricity coming from Okpai. And you say we should feel good about it. And these funds are being used to take care of other areas in the country. It's painful. You understand? No matter how you want to look at it, even those other areas that don't have those funds, they know it deep within their hearts that what is happening in this country is not fair. There is no equity in terms of
is there any part of the PIB passed by the House of Reps that makes you feel happy?
Oh, the only part I feel happy is the 5%. Since they did not concur with the Senate at 3%. But the 5%, I still tell you, is not enough. We're looking at 10%. So I think the Senate, it was a slap in the face. And I must give a thumbs down to the Senate for sticking to 3%.
But 3% is 0.5% higher than the 2.5% that you had.
Yeah,
before.
No, but it's still not enough. The Niger Delta senators, I mean, I wonder how they'll come back home. What they'll come back home to tell us? They should have staged a walkout. That's what I expected all the Niger Delta senators to do. They should have staged a walkout, and so they would have identified with those of us that are saying that, look, we're being shortchanged. Yes, the House took it from 2.5 to 5%, but they only added 0.5. That is not enough. If the governors, even if the governors are doing the work of the senators now, because 17 governors have come together rejecting it holistically. If we stick together, the federal government will send a strong message to the federal government, and the oppression of the federal government will stop.
Right. I'm going to head to the phone lines in a moment. I know we've touched on some raw nerves when we're talking about oil. A final one, of the things that came up from the forum yesterday is a very interesting. We're keeping our fingers crossed watching this today. There is a conversation around electoral transmission of results, the Electoral Act,
yes,
that's been looked at. The lawmakers did a 360 turnaround.
They did abracadabra. Sorry to say, because I'm looking forward to joining them.
Took everybody by shock.
In future, and I will fight for this bill because I'm running for the House of Reps. How can you remove electronic transmission of results? We saw what happened in Ondo and Edo State. You know, in Ondo, interestingly, the candidate of my party is challenging, he's not challenging the results because he says the results are not credible. He's challenging the legality of Buni being the chairman of APC. That's what he's challenging. In Edo, for example, you find that Pastor Izeyamu couldn't challenge the results. He was only challenging the issue of certificate forgery of Obaseki, which the Supreme Court has put to rest.
Mm.
So you find that those two elections, the results were transmitted electronically. Nobody could challenge the results.
Yeah.
So why is it that this country, we're wicked to ourselves? We've seen two elections that were almost foolproof in terms of the legitimacy of the results.
Yeah.
One was won by the APC, Ondo. One was won by the PDP, Edo.
Yeah.
Why can't we stick to what will give us a fair share, an equitable share, or a sense of belonging and a sense of objectivity?
Coming
in
from the 2019 election, that was a strong vibe that Nigerians were calling for. Let there be electronic transmission. Let
they
everybody
need to
see
put
it
back that electronic transmission. Time. Because you see, the form EC8A, it's just tissue paper if you don't have the electronic transmission.
Yeah.
That is where the results are generated. Forget the other ones.
Yeah.
For me, CATA is the one you get from the polling unit. The polling unit, once you put in those results and it's transmitted, you can change them.
Yeah,
anymore.
You can't change them.
You can't have the talks coming to take those ballot papers
and switching them. And it's even best.
Destroy the ballots.
It's even best if the electronic transmission is done in real time. Everyone can log into Annex website.
That's exactly what happened in Edo and Ondo. And so before you knew it, we all had our results in our situation room.
Right. And it was the same thing. Everyone could see the same result. Let me go to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. It's time for you to join us. If you're female, you can call 0146-57190. Okay? Let's get started. Good morning.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Welcome to the show. What's your name?
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum.
Thanks for calling.
Two things quickly. You see, the reason why they will not allow this electronics transmission of votes, I think it's to favor a section of this country, because they continue to claim that their population is their power, why they are retaining power to their side. See, once they agree and allow electronic translation of results, see, sincerely, we begin to pick the best of the best among us.
Hmm.
Then, secondly, on this issue of DSS and security and governors being the real
chief security officers. Mm.
Yes. You see, this thing is right. If you look at a lot of things that is going on presently now that is causing a lot of insecurity, it's part of this. Yes, there are some operations that they may bypass. But in some cases, that has some political undertone.
Hmm.
And when these people did it during the days of the judges, when they raided the judges' house, a lot of people raised eyebrows. But because many could not see beyond that time, they were saying, it's good. They are fighting corruption, this and that. Now, it's coming home to roost.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Hello. Good morning. Oops. Please try again if you can. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
James from Solo.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, I want to talk about Ezeyamu versus Obaseki.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ezeyamu should go and sit down. You should not mind. You should not mind. You should not allow the Osumbole. You should blame Osumbole. It's Osumbole that is dribbling him. Was it not the same result that the Obaseki used 4 years ago?
Okay. Thank you very much. I know I understand where you're coming from, but let's stay with the forum's decisions, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Anne. I'm calling from Orilegum.
All right. Go ahead.
So I want to let you...
Oh, sorry. The network was not fair to you. Please try again if you can. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Daily Digest. What's your name?
Thank you very much. I have Mr. Sam calling from Ikorodu.
Please go ahead.
Good morning to the girls in the studio.
Good morning.
Thank you, sir. I want to ask this question. Why is it not possible for you, the governor's ballroom, to carry the lawmakers from their various states along in the resolution that you have resolved? That is one.
Mm.
Two, do you think that a governor is not faithful with the little that they have, that it can be faithful with much?
Hmm.
Because even if they increase this derivation you are talking for the host community to 5 or 10%, you will still demand more. But if we can see what you do with the 3% that is given to you, then you have the audacity to demand for more. Many owners in the South have been accused of having received so much but doing very little.
Yes, I hear you. Thank you very much. Let me take one more thought and then we get a answer to that. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Hadiza.
All right, go ahead, please.
Okay, my concern is with what's happening in the Niger Delta right now, because I know that they have the NDDC commission. Mm-hmm. But then there is a lot of corruption going on there. How sure are we that if given what they are asking for now, that they are going to channel it into developing the community? Because your guest was stating that in the north, that they take the money from the south to develop the north. What I feel is that the leaders over there might have been using the money judiciously to develop their community.
Right. It's the same question. Thank you so much for calling. All right. Let's take those together. So, I mean, you heard the question. So, if they're not faithful with small,
how can you be faithful with a whole lot? Let's allow us to do with our matters internally when it comes to
Do you think that's
that.
Fair to say? Because the people are still
like
poor anyway.
It's like telling Wemoha she's going to spend the 50,000 naira she has in her pocket because she wasted 50,000. She shouldn't be giving 100,000 that is due to her. Yes, I agree. That's a very strong point. But we can't keep saying because governors are not using the money judiciously that you deny us what is ours and give to others. We just can't go with that theory. Yes, we must do an internal cleansing. We must ask how our governors are using the ones that they have. But that doesn't mean you should take what is ours and take it out. We can't continue that way. We're talking about equity, yes. Like the other guy said, he's very correct. You know, I talked about the reps, the Senate and the House of Assembly being carried along.
Mm-hmm.
They all stand hand in hand. It's usually a very large conference before now. And I think I'll urge the governors to take a cue from that caller to invite them. But I'm happy. The House of Reps just released a communique.
Mm-hmm.
I just read the communique this morning. That's the House of Reps caucus from the Niger 17 states of the South. And they have backed the resolution of the governors. I expect the Senate to release their own communique by today, backing the resolution of the governors. And I'm also expecting the speakers of the 17 states they don't have a choice because they are the ones we're looking at to promulgate the anti-open grazing by on or before the 1st.
Yeah.
And to tell us
of September.
Yes, 1st of September, it has been signed into law. And we'll not see cows again in our backyards. And so, if there is a holistic approach to the issues, like the other caller has said, we would achieve results.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a step in the right direction.
Mm.
After now, Lagos State has made the secretariat. Lagos State is big enough to house all the legislatures. I'm talking about the assembly members, the senators and the House of Rep members.
Okay, let's take one more thought before we wrap this up. Hello, good morning. Are you there? No, you're not. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to Daily Digest. What's your name?
Good morning. My name is Emmanuel from Lekki.
Welcome to the show. Let's make it quick.
I've been calling you since May to tell you something that just happened to us there.
Happened to you where?
For Shangote Du, my wife is working there.
Okay, you have to call the newsroom, not the live show. We give you the numbers on the news bulletins. You have to listen for it. I'll tell you the number again shortly, okay? All right, so let's see if we can take a final one. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
I'm Ben from Igondu.
All right, let's make it very, very quick.
Okay, good one to Ken for speaking my mind out. The truth is that we are being treated unfairly, those of us from the Niger Delta region.
Mm.
You understand? We cannot imagine you giving 3% to us from oil and then giving 30% for upfront what? If you need exploration for oil, the companies that want to invest, they should come and do the exploration by themselves.
All right. Thank you very much. But I'm really out of time. Need to go. I have some ads to play. Kenny Okolugbo has had a fantastic conversation here with us on Daily Digest. He was the commissioner, Delta State Oil Producing Area Development Commission, the SOPADEC. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure.
All right, Nigeria. I'm back with you again tomorrow morning at 9. Let's keep talking. This is Nigeria Info. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. We'll be right back.